Now, 2 weeks ago, we saw the first top-flight Welsh derby as Cardiff City overcame Swansea in their first season in the Premier League. Cardiff currently lie 14th in the table with tough games to come. And this week, Prem Chat features the famous club in a famous city. I'm Dave O'Grady. I'm joined by my super co-pilot, Nathan Carr.
Hello there.
Great to have you, Nathan. Also have a real nice treat for you today because we're joined by a journalist, musician, actress, all-rounder, Sarah Price. You're very welcome to the programme, Sarah. I understand you have a comedy drama series on the way.
I do indeed, yeah. It's called Dandelion and Daydreams, and it's the story of a musician who suffers a quite bad injury and has to rebuild his life. So it should star James Fox when it's made, anyway. Guy who did Fame Academy, he's Eurovision Song Contest. He's just been playing Paul McCartney in the West End. So he's writing the music for it and he's going to star in it. So it should be really good.
And when are we going to see this, Sarah?
Well, we're still waiting for a backer to come into it and take it. But we've got a few people sniffing at it. Sky TV's interested. And, you know, he's a Cardiff City boy as well, a Cardiff City fan. He wrote the top 20 Cardiff City song we have for the FA Cup final. So, you know, it's so good.
It's going to be exciting. As soon as it grows legs, I reckon it'll turn into a train and it'll be on the way. I wish you the very best of luck going forward with that, Sarah. Fair play. It sounds terrific. We're also delighted to be joined by Ben Jones, who runs a fantastic podcast. Ben, tell us a little bit about it. View from the Ninian.
Yeah, View from the Ninian. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. And we've kind of just take a flippant look at what Cardiff City's about and don't take anything too seriously. But it's good fun doing it.
Excellent, excellent. Keep up the good work. I want to firstly kick off, guys, looking back at Cardiff's last two results. A bit of an anti-climax, Sarah, it's probably fair to say. We had the euphoria of the derby win over Swansea, you know, the bragging rights, everything came into place there, and then only to lose away to Aston Villa. A bit of bittersweet over the past few weeks.
Oh, it was. I mean, Swansea was absolutely magical. That was great. That was probably the game I've enjoyed most in all my years of supporting Cardiff City. Then Aston Villa last Saturday, that was dire. I was in with the Aston Villa fans, and they were booing at half-time, and their language was terrible at the team. Aston Villa just were terrible, to be honest. And it was two defensive errors by Cardiff that gave them the game. The free kick was sublime that went in, but Madel pulled the guy back. Needless foul. Whittingham was in front of him. He could have made the tackle. That set up the free kick. And then again, it was terrible defending for the second goal. You know, it was awful.
Yeah, awful stuff. Ben, those errors that Sarah mentioned there, it's something that a team that just comes up to the Premier League really has to watch out for. They're the type of errors that could send you right back down.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gary Medel's come in over the summer and he's been, before the game, everyone says how fantastic he's been. 10 games, no bookings, everything else. He's been calm, he's been cool in the midfield. And then all of a sudden it was kind of, I think, a sod's law really that he came in and gave away a free kick like he did. It was just cynical. And like you say, those fouls and those errors are the type of things that cost us at the end of the season, because we're defending so well anyway. But, you know, when we make those errors, it's our own downfall, really.
And staying with yourself, Ben, the derby, South Wales derby, yeah. How nice must that feel to get one over on your arch rivals in Swansea and, you know, have those bragging rights? Albeit it was a scrappy, you know, but effective win, would you say?
I think the first half was one of the worst first halves of football I've seen for a long time. Both teams weren't really with it, you know, neither could get a stranglehold on the game. But the second half, I thought we were the much better team. You know, we came out, we played some really nice football and kind of nullified the threat from Swansea. You know, Michu went off injured, but I don't know if it was injury or if he didn't really want to be there. He didn't look his normal self. It was great to get that. I think the first derby, the first South Wales derby, or Y Clasurol, if you will, in Welsh, in the Premier League. And it was great to get that win. And I think it was vital for us kind of coming off the back of a couple of bad results to get that confidence going again.
And Sarah, Courtner's bullet header late on. What have you made of his impact coming in the summer? And just how important a win do you think that is in shaping up your season?
Oh, I think that's immensely important to shape up our season. We needed something to lift us. We did really well against Man City, obviously. But after that, it's sort of been down a bit. And all the backroom stuff that's gone on, that's sort of like distracted and stuff. We needed that to bring the supporters up and the players together and get us up on a level. And of course, it's always great to beat Swansea. And you know, we've done it the last time. and it was nice to do it again. But Culper's been immense. You know, he's as a you know, and Medel as well in defence. It's just, you know, it's just not making those stupid errors that's the problem, you know.
It's a bit of an interesting one, Sarah, about Culker. I think there's a little bit of an international sidetracked story attached to him these days. I understand. I think Scotland are trying to pry him away. What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's played for England, hasn't he? He's got an England cap, so he can't play for Scotland.
Was it a friendly, which means the rules now is he can make the change as long as he hasn't played a competitive international cap. But all in all, Sarah, having a player like that in your team playing international and being wanted by two countries is obviously a huge positive.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and he's a really good player. You know, he's somebody, once he gets into an international team, they're going to pick some shifting, bar an injury, because he's been extremely impressed with him, I'll have to say.
Yeah, indeed. Ben, I want to put a point to you looking at the season really as a whole and Malky Mackay's performance as manager. Have you been happy with what's gone on? You know, a lot of credit came for getting to the Premier League eventually. I think it's probably fair to say a third or fourth time lucky for Cardiff. Very unfortunate over the years. A lot of frustration there, but finally up where you guys belong.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm very happy with the way the season's going at the moment. I mean, you know, a lot of credit has gone to Malky Mackay. I think he has made the difference. Under Dave Jones, we were a bit brittle, we were a bit sloppy in the way we played. But Malky came in, and in that first season, he made us hard to beat. In the second season, he made us hard to beat with a bit more of attacking flair. And now we're in the Premier League, he's got us there. And, you know, we've lost a couple of games. We've lost to Tottenham, which was to be expected. And, you know, we've lost to Newcastle. But in both those games, we were incredibly hard to break down. And I think that's the important thing in the Premier League is if you build a strong defence, like on Stephen Colker, who has been magnificent since he's came in, we can go up the other end and create attacks and score, because we know we're not going to concede many goals. And I think that is Malky's kind of legacy at the moment.
And Sarah, coming to yourself, how do you rate Malky as a coach? I mean, from an outsider's point of view, he seems to be in control, an authority figure, and he's just done well, really, would you say, to focus on the team when there's been a lot of stuff going on, off the field?
Oh, absolutely brilliantly. Brilliant job he's doing. Yeah, because, I mean, the stuff that's going on off the field is unbelievable. You know, you couldn't make it up. If you did, nobody would believe you. For him to stay focused and keep the players as a unit and them to stay focused is, you know, I can't praise the guy enough. And I think he's also being shackled to the degree of having to play more defensively, because he's been told he's got to stay up under all circumstances, you know, no matter what, where it is sort of like stopping him, sort of making us play a bit more attacking. And I think come the second half of the season and we're still where we are now or a bit higher, then you'll see a different Cardiff City going forward again.
Yeah, and Ben, coming to yourself, what do you make him as an actual manager then, taking into consideration, you know, his tactics and his actual strategy and his deployment of players? I mean, he was busy in the summer.
Yeah.
As an actual sort of coach, the nitty-gritty part, what's he thinking?
I think he's proven himself to be quite a very good manager and a very good coach. His man management, I think, is second to none. You know, you can see that the players really want to play for him. They really want to get down and be committed for him. And I think that his tactics, there are times when he, you know, things aren't going well on the field and he notices and changes those. You know, against Swansea, Odden Wingie didn't have the best game. As much as he caused Ashley Williams a lot of problems, he didn't have the best of games in terms of attacking intent, but spotted that, brought Campbell on. And I know Campbell, you know, he harried the defenders a bit more, and like he got Vorm sent off because he just didn't want to give up on the ball. And I think, you know, he's got a lot to deal with off the pitch, but it's on the pitch that he's really proven himself to be a very good manager.
Let's talk about the controversy around the club, Ben, and Vincent Tan. It's been quite interesting. I know a lot of Cardiff fans are not happy. I know recently his decision not to publicly back the manager when he was interviewed on Sky Sports following the South Wales Derby win. Cardiff fans want stability at the club. I know there was interference in as well with Etienne Velekonya as well. What do you make of the whole situation? It's a bit of a mess.
It's a bit of a mess, is an understatement. It's a complete mess. I mean, we do owe Vincent Tan a lot. He came in when the club was basically, you know, on its last legs financially, and he has helped us out a lot. But I think the problem that most fans have with him is it's his inability to kind of respect what the fans want and respect that the fans have been there longer than him, that in the decisions he's made. You know, the rebrand fiasco was one thing, but now this season he's kind of upped it a little bit with his interfering. I mean, the whole stuff with Ian Moody, we've never been told as fans why Ian Moody was sacked. We were just told Ian Moody's gone, that's it, that's the decision. You know, what did he do? Did he do anything wrong? We don't know. I don't think he did anything wrong, for the record. And I think he's gone out to Palace, and Palace have got a very good kind of scout recruitment manager in there. And we're left for wanting now. And I think that it's all about Vincent Tan. That's the problem. Vincent Tan wants it to be about him. He thinks everyone should credit him for what's happening at the club. Well, in reality, it's, you know, he's putting the money into the club, but he is almost peripheral behind Malky and the team. And he doesn't realise that. And I think he wants it to be about him and the focus on him. And I think that's what stuff was after the game, you know, when he said that he refused to publicly back Malky Mackay and said that everything will come out when I'm ready to explain. That was just him being egotistical, I think.
Yeah. Sarah, what has been your biggest problem with the off the field issues with Cardiff City this season?
It's where to start, to be honest. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you've got taking away the pride of the club and the supporters. The interfering, I think, with the man management, to be honest, is the worst thing for me. It's the passing down notes and demanding players get taken off, players are put on, demanding who should be in the team, demanding who should be taken out to pasture, you know, because he doesn't like them. It's just too much. You know, you've put your money in, you own the club, you know, if you like, but I don't think anybody ever owns the club. The supporters own the club, to be honest. People who go and play in the passion and stuff, they're the people that own it, not the guy who puts the money in. But he seems to think that he's got absolute control, where, you know, it's not. You've put your money in, you've paid the same as we have, you cheer the same as we have, you boo the same as we have. You haven't got any more right to go and sort of like interfere with the manager than I have, you know. It's your opinion, you know, you keep your mouth shut, that's it.
I think it's interesting that Sarah's right in what she says, and I think that Vincent Tan would be the greatest owner we've ever had in our history if he hadn't meddled with the history of the club so much. You know, he came in and he saved the club essentially and has taken us to that next level, but it's his insistence to kind of disregard what the fans want and his insistence that we have the red kit, we have the horrible badge, we have everything geared for what he wants, that has kind of grated with the fans the most. And if he hadn't done that, if he'd kind of kept everything the same, kept the blue, he would be worshipped and he'd be, you know, what he wants to be. He wants to be worshipped and respected in Cardiff, but as it is, he's just seen as a big clown, basically. It's his own fault. You can't blame anyone but himself.
And Ben Stone, with you, to use a quote from your ex-chairman Peter Risdale, he says there just doesn't seem to be a lot of logic at the club. Does that quote, do you think, sort of sum up and really in a nutshell emphasise just what's going on in terms of the off-field problems at Cardiff City Football Club?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Vincent Tan's just kind of, he's doing everything on a whim. You know, the rebrand, I think a lot of fans would have not liked the rebrand, but they would have respected it more if he'd come in and said, look, the red kit's going to do this, this and this for the club finances. It's going to make us a global force. But instead, he just kind of went, I want the red kit. I want the red badge. And that's that. That's final. That's what it's going to be. And, you know, people have kind of said, you know, what are the reasons for it? You know, the whole kind of thing was done lazily. We had people buying shirts and hats from the club shop and then taking off the new badge. And underneath was the old badge where they just ironed over it. That just shows that they hadn't put any forethought into it and just did it on the off chance, did it on a kind of whim. And I think that this season as well, you know, sacking Ian Moody, bringing in a 23-year-old Kazakhstani bloke who didn't even have a visa, let alone worked in football before, shows that there's absolutely no logic to the way he's running the club. He's just doing what he wants, and that's not the way to run a football club.
Strong views. And Sarah, just moving on to your summer acquisitions, we've talked briefly on Corkner and Ben's mentioned Odin Wingi and, of course, Medel as well, who's a big money signing. Those three seem to be the most significant arrivals. Just quickly, what have you made of each one and what sort of attributes do they bring to the squad?
Oh, Gary Medel has been an absolute revelation because reputation as pit bull, he'd been sent off 9 times. There was a famous incident where there was a garden chair that he'd been sent off and he kicked it, and he kicked it with such a force it shattered into a couple of hundred pieces and hit spectators. People were saying, oh, we've bought a player that's going to be sent off. He's going to spend most of the season not even available to play. You know, he's a hothead. And like we said before, he's made one tiny error and he's been absolute rock in the back. He misplaces, you look at his stats at the end of the game, one game he misplaced 2 passes out of 98. Every other one of his passes had made his intended target. I mean, he's absolutely immense. you can't, it's a sort of player I have never seen before. You know, I haven't seen a player that's that accurate with a ball and passing. It's fantastic.
And one of the things that we have to talk about is, of course, the aims of the season. You mentioned about new signings coming in, trying to bring the club forward. And Ben, what exactly is the aims of from Cardiff City supporters this year? There's so much controversy going on, but at the same time, picking up a memorable win in the derby. What is the aim? Is it top half finish or not to get relegated?
I think any club getting promoted now has to look at, obviously, not getting relegated is their first aim. But I think it's not as simple as that, because I don't think the Premier League is as strong as it was in the bottom half. So I think teams that have come up, you know, like us and Hull have shown this season that we're both pushing up into the mid-table. And I think the first aim is don't get relegated, avoid, you know, establish yourself in the Premier League. And then the second aim from that is just get as high up the table as you can. You know, with finishing in a high position comes a bit more cash for next season and a bit more kind of stability for the club. So I think, ideally, we'd like to finish around 13th, 12th, 13th. I kind of predicted 13th at the start of the season as a realistic aim, and I think that's it. And then off the pitch, I just think it's trying to avoid the club self-imploding, really. I think that's the only aim there.
Sarah, what would you say? Would you go along with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, the first thing is to survive, is what's been said. But, you know, I think we're capable of actually making a top 10 finish. The way the Premiership's playing this season, everybody's beaten everybody else. It's become rather like the Championship. But yeah, I think, you know, we get somebody who can score as goals, and we could get a top 10 finish easy.
Indeed. Well, listen, my thanks to Ben Jones and Sarah Price for joining us there on Prem Chat Show. We look forward to the pleasure of your company again, guys. Thanks a million for joining us. We'll chat to you soon.
It's a pleasure. Bye.
Yes, indeed. Two cracking Cardiff City FC pundits there. Now, we're also delighted to be joined now live on the line by Chris Saunders, author of a terrific book, From the Ashes, The Real Story of Cardiff City FC. It's out now and available to get. Chris, thanks for joining us on the Prem Chat Show. Firstly, tell us a little bit about your book. It highlights a lot of key issues surrounding the club.
Yeah, well, it took me a long time to write, actually. I started it back in 2002, I think. And it was one of those projects I kind of dipped into now and again. But when we got promoted last season, I kind of took the extra effort and got it to a publisher. And it's doing quite well so far.
Inside the book, are you covering the whole history of it? Or is there a lot of stuff, what's going on behind the scenes in the club today?
To be honest, I didn't want to bother too much with the controversial stuff with the rebranding and all that. It kind of took things away from the football club as a whole. So I started with the history of actually where we came from and founding fathers and the great times that we've had at Cardiff City. I tried to keep it positive rather than negative.
There's been a lot of frustration over the past few years at Cardiff City of getting so close to the Premier League, but yet just falling at that final hurdle. No doubt you tell tales of matches that you've been to and that kind of thing where it's been, you know, so close but yet so far.
Yeah, probably my greatest memory was the when we got promoted to the Championship via the playoffs at Millennium Stadium. I think that was personally my greatest day. The great thing, Andy Campbell is probably the greatest goal he ever scored in his career. Not just for us, but for anybody.
Amazing stuff. There was success, of course, in the 1920s. You know, I think the FA Cup final win, it wasn't the end. You also won the Welsh Cup and defeating Real. So there was a lot of stuff when Cardiff were playing in the Welsh leagues.
Yeah, there was. I think we're the only team to ever hold the national cups in two different countries at the same time.
Very few clubs, I'd imagine, Chris, could boast that.
No, that's right. There was a rather a sad anecdote about the guy that scored the winning goal for us in 27, Hughie Ferguson. Like, he ended up committing suicide, unfortunately. He went back to Scotland. I think it was Dundee. And his career was never the same. He could never hit the same heights that he did with the city. And he ended up committing suicide. Got a sad end.
And that actually, then I think going on at towards the end of the 20s then, that there was a little bit of a decline then. I know I read they were relegated from the first division of the Football League, despite conceding the fewest goals of all teams in the division that year. That must be a record in itself.
Yeah, we have so many kind of unenviable records. Another one is when we just lost out on the first division title by like a fraction of a goal. I don't think it's ever been replicated since, and it's unlikely to ever again. We've been really unlucky though. So, you know, it's football. You take the good times with the bad times.
A bit of a barren era. Just before I let you in there, Nathan, there was a long barren era, it's probably fair to say, between 85 and 2000, continuously in the lower divisions, I think relegated to the third division and the fourth division at one stage, when you had other clubs from, say, the working class in England doing really well, the likes of Liverpool, and that had been doing quite well. It was a dark time almost for the Cardiff City fans.
Yeah, it was. Right, I think from talking to a lot of fans and myself, I think we appreciate it more now, the success that we've had, because we didn't have any success apart from, like, you know, promotion to Division 3 and then back down again. But there was no, apart from the Welsh Cup, which we won a few times, we had absolutely no success in any of the cups or anything else. So when we do finally get to the Premier League and start playing on the biggest stage, I think a lot of people appreciate it more.
And Chris, you said you like to steer away from the sort of the off-field shenanigans that are going on at Cardiff City. If you did have to, comment on the off-field issues in sort of a nutshell, what would you say?
Do you mean the rebranding, or do you mean the
whole controversy surrounding the club at the moment?
Well, I think the rebranding, it was, if we didn't accept the change of colour and the change of the badge, then I think time would have taken his money out and say goodbye. So it's kind of a price we have to pay for success, unfortunately. Success always comes at a price, and somebody somewhere has to pay. And I think it was a small price to pay. It could have been a lot worse, the rebranding. You know, playing in red isn't such a bad thing, especially being Welsh, just our national colour. I can understand that lots of the older fans, you know, they want to keep blue and all that, but it's progress. You have to change to keep ahead of the times, I think.
But the likes of changing the brand, Chris, and the colours and that, you talked about the terrific history and the wonderful history that you have covered in your book. For people like yourself who know so much about where Cardiff have come from to be where they are today, do you feel that you've lost a little bit of the history with the rebrand and, you know, changing things? I know there was a lot of Arsenal fans that weren't too happy when they were changing the club's crest, you know, something like that.
Well, not particularly, to be honest. Like I say, I think it's just a price you have to pay, and it's progress. Like, blue wasn't even our first colour. We used to play in, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think amber and brown, like brown and yellow stripes back in the early days. We only adopted blue after we'd been around for a couple of decades, I think. So this isn't the first time it's happened. The thing I don't agree with recently is all the rumours coming out about Tan interfering with team selection and the Moody fiasco. I think he's pushing himself into a dark place, into a corner, if you know what I mean. I think some things are best left to people, professional people who know what they're doing. And obviously in Malky, we have a great young manager. I think he should just be left alone to do his job, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to come in on Mackay, Chris. In the midst of what's been going on, how do you think he's conducted himself? I mean, from the outside, it looks like he's conducting himself well and being able to focus, you know, solely on the squad and how the team are doing on the pitch and, you know, securing results that will shape the season, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. He's conducting himself impeccably. But I'm sure it must have an effect, all the uncertainty and the things that he has to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Like, a lot of the upper echelon, Vincent Tan, they've all kind of maintained a silence about it. They will, if the press asks them questions, they just say no comment and walk away. And they leave Markey to answer the questions. And a lot of the time, I don't think he knows himself exactly what's going on. But he feels that he owes the fans an explanation, even if he doesn't always have it. So it's tricky for him. But as you say, he's conducted himself impeccably, and I think the fans appreciate him even more for that. They know he's in a hard position.
And the fans seem to, again from the outside, they seem to you know, lean towards Malky and have a liking for him, what would you say?
Yeah, from the moment he came to us, it was just some connection that we have. It's hard to explain, really. It's just some managers, they fit into certain places. Other managers obviously don't. But the team started playing differently when he came. We had more of a team spirit, more of a work ethic. We haven't always been the most creative of teams. I'm not sure. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But, you know, a clean sheet sometimes is as good as a goal. It just depends on the circumstances you're playing under.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Chris. And just, we got the views from Ben and Sarah before you came on about their aims for the season and what they'd be satisfied with. And there was a little bit of, we'd be happy to see Cardiff not self-destruct this year, but would you be a little bit more positive than that? Could you see maybe you guys pushing up the table a bit and maybe targeting a top half finish or upper mid-table?
To be honest, I don't think that's going to be realistic for us this season, especially with all the off-field stuff going on. I think we'd be happy. I think we'd stay clear of the relegation places. I don't think we're going to fall into that trap, purely because there's a few teams a lot worse than us, to be blatantly honest about it. So I don't think we're going to be in any danger at any time. I think maybe we'll scrape the top off. I think it's consolidation at this stage. We just have to dig in, pick up points where we can, and as you say, not self-destruct.
And hopefully that happens. On a positive note, we can leave the show with Chris. It's terrific to see so many internationals involved with Cardiff City this year. Probably the first time in a long time where you've lost all your players, a lot of players at this time of year to international duty. That's got to show progress.
Yeah, sure. And the refreshing thing is that we're getting international players from a lot of different countries. Before, we've always had a lot of history with obviously Welsh players and Scottish players. But there's two England internationals in our team now, in Fraser Campbell and Stephen Corker. And that says a lot about the progress we're making. And also, Kimbo is an international, Odin Wingy, and Guy Liddell, of course.
So onwards and upwards, as they say. Chris, thanks a million for joining us. Just before we let you go, for any listeners looking to get hold of your book, From the Ashes, The Real Story of Cardiff City FC, what's the best way for them to do so?
Just get on Amazon. It's in most good bookshops in Wales, I think. But if you have any trouble finding my book, just log on to Amazon and search the title and I'll pop up.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, we wish you the very best of luck with the book. And thanks a million for joining us on the Prem Chat Show.
Cheers, Chris.
Thanks very much for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Before we go, Nathan, I was having a look there. Chris was mentioning about the jerseys and how it not being such a big change. In fact, the strips. And I was actually looking back in 1908, the original strip used as Riverside AFC, the grassroots, I suppose, of Cardiff City forming. And it was orange and amber, really awful looking strip, it has to be said. Then they went to their original colours after 1908, which was the blue and white. Then they used a lighter blue strip between 1926 and 1930, which was sky blue, which would probably today look like a Manchester City jersey. In 1936 to 1937, the shirt became popular and was reused. They reused it as a blue and white with white sleeves, something like maybe a Birmingham City jersey of today. Then they went to all blue from 92 to 96, and again from 2000 to 2007, all blue. Possibly like the Chelsea one, well, we remember that. Then in their strip for 2009 to 2010 was a blue strip with a yellow sides on it, kind of like a Leeds away jersey, it's probably fair to say. Wow. And now the primary colours, red, it changed completely, blue to red with black shorts a lot of the time. So it's quite a change, it's fair to say.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting that, you know, Chris's perspective about, you know, he thinks it's progress, change the colours to red, and, you know, it's for the better in terms of the future. I think that, you know, the idea of tradition and that always sort of a run through the club, I think that's very important. And I can see, in terms of, you know, marketing and financial reasons, why Cardiff have changed the colour of the kit, but that will inevitably, you know, affect the supporters and the people that pay the money to turn up and watch the games every week, you know. But as you say, I mean, it's been such a tradition there of blue, and that's always what you sort of associated Cardiff City Football Club with. It was always going to be a shock to the system in changing it to red, but, you know, we'll see how that goes in terms of financial impact in the future. And, you know, I wish Cardiff all the best regardless of the, you know, the colour of the kit and how they do on the actual field.
If you believe in the stars and all that, I think they say that red is quite a winning colour. I'm trying to remember the last club wearing red that actually got relegated. Can you shed any light on that?
Oh,
we'd be reaching.
I think Wigan Wolves. Not off the top of my head.
I don't think there has been, not in a long time.
That's a great, it's a good one. Question.
Yeah, perhaps any Prem Chat listeners will hit us an email at talkingsport.org. Well, I'm afraid that's it. We're out of time. We'll do it all again very soon, where we'll take another Premier League club and speak to the people that are really passionate, the punters, the pundits, and those that just want to say hello. Thanks again. We'll chat to you soon.